All right, I invite you to take your Bibles with me tonight by way of introduction. Daniel chapter 6 here this evening. Daniel chapter 6, a very familiar passage. But I want to use this as a way to begin our study here tonight. As I mentioned about a couple of weeks ago now, I've been wanting to start a series of lessons on prayer. Tonight I want to talk about the habit of prayer. Well, shouldn't prayer and Bible reading be more than a habit? Well, yeah, it should be more than a habit, but until you have a habit, you can't strengthen what you don't have, right? So Daniel chapter 6, I want to just be reminded of a few things here tonight in relation to the habit of prayer. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, as we see here an example of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. All right, so you have three presidents, you know, under the king, but you notice he was in essence the prime minister. He was the second in charge in essence. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage, no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. All right, so no problems with his government, government account. There's no problems with his chariot driving record. I mean, they couldn't find anything, and so finally they had to go to his religion. Now, this is one of the things I thought about as I was reflecting on this passage here. Oh, that the world would see that we are praying people. And what I think is interesting, from time to time over the years, I've either experienced this or have heard of a Christian experiencing this, where somebody who's probably lost in the workplace or whatever, they have a big need, and they know you're a Christian, they know that you pray, so I have a prayer request for you. Though that the world would see that we are praying people. It says, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All right, so you notice they're kind of saying nice things, flattering him and so on, so that they'll listen. He will listen to what they have to say. All the presidents of the kingdom, that was a lie, not all the presidents, two out of the three presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. They didn't consult with the number one president. It says, to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, the king should have figured out, it's like 30 days, why just 30 days? Why not indefinitely? Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Once it's signed into law, it cannot be changed. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. You notice here, Daniel doesn't go out and he doesn't go get his three friends and to go, petition and, have, picket march and all those things to protest, this religious persecution and all those things. No, Daniel just quietly goes, continues doing what he normally does. This is why I use this as an example. Daniel had a habit of prayer. Notice it says here in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he made sure that they knew he was still praying. No, he just did what he always did. That's what I'm emphasizing here is the habit that he had of praying. It says he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, I want you to consider here, he's not starting a habit. He's not, he's not publicly praying and all that just so he can get at these others. No, he just is continuing to do what he's always done. And of course, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You notice here, they knew where they would find him. And so they found him praying as he always did. Again, this set time for prayer. First of all, consider this set time for prayer. Daniel has three times, it says in the Bible here, three times a day, probably morning, noon, and at night. So again, these three times. In fact, there's a psalm. I forgot I was going to look up the reference on that. But notice with me on Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Notice here the example of our Lord here as far as the set time for prayer. Mark chapter 1. Well, I'm just too busy to pray. Well, I don't think any of us are more busy than the Lord Jesus Christ was. Because anywhere, anytime he went somewhere, I mean, he immediately had multitudes gathering around him. It says here, verse 32, and even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Notice all, everyone. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many. Notice Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry did not believe he had to, according to the will of God, heal everyone. So much for the word of faith teaching that, you know, God wants you healed. It says he healed many that were sick of diverse or various diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So again, we see here that he was constantly having demands around him. It says in verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, before alarm clocks, before smartphones, you know, with the alarm on it or anything like that, I don't know if he asked his father to wake him up when he was supposed to, or if it was because the rooster was crowing. I don't know. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And of course, then he says, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. But again, I want you to notice here this set time that he had for prayer. I believe spiritual habits are very important in our lives. Bible reading and prayer, I believe, is a spiritual habit that needs to be emphasized in our lives. But again, I want you to notice here, in particular, morning prayer. Let me just say as far as work schedules, sometimes morning prayer is difficult. Because somebody who works third shift, is, you know, I've done that from time to time. Sometimes in the morning, I would get home from work, and I feel like going straight to bed. Does the Lord understand that? I believe so. Sometimes the Lord will wake you up, and then you have your opportunity to pray. But again, finding a set time for prayer. In fact, Acts 3:1 talks even about the hour of prayer as far as corporate prayer. And that's why I like to emphasize on Wednesday nights our praying together, a set time. But again, Daniel had three times a day that he... Again, just maybe on his lunch break or whatever, he was praying towards Jerusalem. Notice with me also another reference here in relation to the time of prayer. Notice it says Psalm 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. We see here he's praying to the Lord in this psalm. Verse 1, it says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee, and so on. Notice again, he says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. When is your appointment with God? I have often thought about that. We'll set an appointment for a doctor's appointment, and we'll try to be there on time. You know, we have appointments for various things, but yet we don't set an appointment with God, the King of the universe. Do we have an appointment, an appointed time with God? Set a time for prayer to emphasize the habit of prayer. Also, find a place to pray. Remember again, it says in Mark 1:35, Jesus departed into what kind of place? A solitary place. Now, I believe we need to be careful where we find place to pray. What I thought was interesting in that passage, the disciples knew where to find him. It says they found Jesus. And of course, Judas even knew of one of the places where Jesus would often resort for prayer. Notice with me, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. See what Jesus says about finding a place to pray. So we need to find a place with no phone. You think about this, no phone. How many times is it easy, especially now in the day with smartphones, the cell phones, you have your phone close by there, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody will text you or whatever, and you're trying to pray, and, oh, I got to look at the text. No, you don't have to look at the text at that moment. So again, no phone, no noise. I'd still have tried to figure out over the years how students can study. They say they're studying. They have the TV going, they have the radio going or whatever, and they're supposedly trying to study. That's not, you know, you homeschool, you know, moms and all that. I mean, you know that's not conducive for learning. We have to remove the distractions. But again, you notice it's called a solitary place. No internet. Again, all of these distractions that will steal the focus from the Lord. Notice it says here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Here Jesus says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their..." There, see, that's why I don't pray in public. That's not what he's talking about there. Notice the motive there. The motive is that people will see them praying. And it's probably very similar to Luke 18's prayer, "Father, I thank thee that I am not like these other men." It's all self-focused. But again, he says they already have their reward. If somebody wants to have a showy prayer, then they already have their reward. Verse 6, but notice what he emphasizes. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." So what we see here is the hypocrite in verse 5, that's the only time they pray. They don't pray in private. That's the only time they pray, so that people will see them praying. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, we've not always had walk-in closets in some of our the places that we've lived over the years, but that's one of the things I love about a walk-in closet, because literally there's room in the closet then. At least in the middle. I was like, you know, so many times closets are storage rooms also. But literally, we can fulfill that if you have a walk-in closet. Some closets are not very big to be able to pray in there. But finding a place by itself. For some, maybe at the couch in the living room or something. Kneeling beside your bed. Sometimes the closet may be on wheels. Right now, I'm leaving pretty early in the morning. And there's times when I have my prayer time on my way to work. God takes notice of us going to our place of prayer. Third, I want you to consider not only a time for prayer and a place for prayer, but we must organize our prayer list. You don't need to turn there. I'll just quote it here. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I want you to consider here that in many cases, when we go to pray, we say, "God, I need this. God, I need this. I need this. I need..." It's all about requests. Now, there's a famous book. It's called Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. If we think that's all prayer is about, then we've missed the whole point. In fact, when you read Scripture and you read some of the prayers that are found in Scripture, a lot of the stuff we pray for, they don't even pray for in the Bible. In fact, in most cases, it's more about God, God, God than what I need. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I'd like to remind everyone of this from time to time. When I was a teenager, our youth leaders in Abilene, Texas, presented the ACTS, acrostic for prayer. As a teenager, I started doing that, and I've modified it off and on over the years, but again, the same basic format I've used over the years. First of all, A stands for adoration of God. It talks about worship and praise for God. Notice with me, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. In fact, I've been using a little bit of the topical Bible in relation to some of this and incorporating some of these verses and all that into my prayer life. But adoration of God, worship and praise. Notice Psalm 100 as an example. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, Notice now here's his attributes. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Another example of this is Psalm 150. Psalm 150. So as far as adoration of God, worship and praise, we're focusing on who God is, his names, his attributes, his qualities, God's goodness, God's grace, God's mercy, all of those things. Taking time to notice in Scripture these things about God. And in fact, again, that's what I like to do. This is my prayer book right here. This is my prayer book. Why is it so many times that we treat the Bible like a reading assignment? Well, I've read my psalm today. I've read my proverb today. Why is it that we treat this as an assignment? A reading assignment. This is not school. This is time with God. This is God's communication to us. We use this to communicate back to God. That's why I use that to try to find the attributes of God. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Notice again the reference to his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. God's excellent greatness. Think about that. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with... You know, I've thought about that. You know, we're not supposed to dance because we're Baptists, you know. But there's nothing wrong in your prayer closet getting so excited about what you find from God. It's like, woohoo, praise God! There's nothing wrong with that. That's why I like being a pastor, and I can do a lot of praying up here. And during the week, there's nobody up here. So I can just get all excited. Get happy in Jesus. Again, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him upon high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. But I can't play any of those instruments. I want you to think about the fact that I believe we should incorporate hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in our prayer time. You know, we have a tool right here for praising God. Yes. Amazing grace. You think about this. Leaning on the everlasting, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I just trust and obey, we sang earlier. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. But using this as a prayer tool for praising God, adoration of God. C stands for confession of sin. Of course, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What have I said? Confession is what? Seeing sin as God sees sin. Confession of sin. I think of the example of Isaiah 6. Going back with the adoration of God and confession. When we spend time praising God for his attributes and his names, and you know, think about God's holiness. Think about Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up. Now, if you come and say, "Oh yeah, my prayer time, I saw God high and lifted up. I really saw him with my..." No, you didn't really see him. But through the eyes of faith, we can experience the same things as Isaiah. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Why? Because Isaiah recorded it for us. But when you see God's holiness, God's glory, all of those things, how does Isaiah respond? Wow, this is awesome. No, he says, woe is me. If we really see God on his throne the way he really is, through the eyes of faith, it's going to make a difference in how we respond to him. You think about Peter, after they hauled in all the fish. It says he bowed down before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." When he saw the greatness of the Lord, he saw, it was almost magnified, his own sin. Confession of sin. T stands for thanksgiving for blessings. Good and bad in our perspective. Why is it that we so often focus on the good circumstances and say, "Thank you, Lord"? But when what we would call bad circumstances, our flesh does not like that, does it? Thanking God. But in the context of spirit-filled life, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5, of course, says giving thanks in all things. Peak and otherwise, no. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's convicting me. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanksgiving. I believe we need to stop and think about, okay, Lord, what did you do for me yesterday? Lord, what do I have? You think about, and we'll mention this here in a moment, but give us this day our daily bread. How many of us really, as Americans, pray that? I mean, there's been times, we've had some times over the years, it's like, Lord, we don't know where the food's coming today. And yet, most cases as Americans, we just go to the refrigerator. We don't say, Lord, give us our daily bread. Okay, you think about, there's another name for money, it's called what? Bread. You know, we expect our paycheck. So what if God decides to put a test to our faith? We find out we no longer have a job. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. We experienced a little of that on deputation before all the sports started coming in when we were heading to Jamaica. And there was a situation early on. We did not have any meetings for, about 5 weeks after we did our survey trip to Jamaica. We were down in Florida. We didn't have a home to go back to and a place to go back to in Ohio. And after 5 weeks of not having any meetings, 5 weeks of very little support coming in, Lord, we're going to need some money to be able to make it to our next meeting. And we had a pastor friend recommend that we go visit a couple of churches in down there in Florida. And there was one church in the Tampa area that we went to visit on a Sunday morning. I did not present our ministry. All I did was pray before during the morning service. Never gave any report about our ministry, anything. Well, after the service, the pastor said, can you hold up a moment before you head out? I said, sure. And I said, well, somebody gave some money to your ministry. We were used to that. You know, there were people that would give, you know, $50, whatever. And he said, we need you to fill out some paperwork because it was a gift of $1,000. I almost did a dance right there. It's like, woohoo, praise the Lord. He didn't even know our name. He left paid the order of blank. He didn't even know who to fill it out to. But the Lord impressed on their heart, give to that missionary family. Supplication for needs, that's what S stands for. First of all, intercession for others. I believe most of our prayer life should be about others. Intercession for others. In fact, Samuel said, woe is me if I sin against God in ceasing to pray for you. That was for rebellious Israel. You think about intercession for others, family, church family, our extended family, for our government leaders. 1 Timothy 2 tells us we're to be praying for those in authority over us, for the lost, for missionaries, for the sick, for the backslidden. And let me just point out something with this. Sometimes, you know, we have a prayer list, we have names to pray for. I believe there's times, though, when we're praying, God will bring somebody to our mind. How do we normally respond to that? Lord, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Well, I wonder if they came to your mind because the Lord wants you to pray for them because they have a situation. There's a reason why they come to your mind. There's times when I'll be driving and, you know, a street sign or something like that remind me of someone. And I try to use that as a reminder to pray for those people. But an intercession for others, but request for personal needs. There's two in particular that Jesus talks about in Matthew 6. Give us this day our daily bread, as already mentioned. But then he also says, deliver us from evil. But you think about this. I challenge you to look at this. In fact, I just heard a sermon on this, and so I want to study that out more. You do a look at the prayer requests of the Apostle Paul. One of the personal prayer requests that he prayed was for his thorn in the flesh to be removed. God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Most of our prayer life is about what I need. You check it out. I mean, that's the way we think. Lord, I need this. I need. Most of our prayer life is about our personal requests. In reality, the Bible emphasizes intercession for others and focusing on God. But again, the habit of prayer. Do we have a time and a place? And could you show me an organized prayer list? Often I really believe we would be more focused, more diligent in our prayers if we had an organized list. But again, could you show me that you have something that you use as a tool to focus? And we'll talk about strengthening our prayer life. But again, as I started out with, in many cases, I believe we have to have the habit to begin with before our prayer life can ever be strengthened. Because if I'm not praying, then how can my prayer life be strengthened? Father, I pray that you'd help us, first and foremost, have the habit of prayer, the habit of spending time with you. Lord, there should not be a day we get to the end of the, oh, I forgot to pray today. Lord, if it's a routine, a part of our lives, we should never get to the end of the day and say, oh, I forgot to pray. But Father, beyond that, even your word says to pray without ceasing. Lord, to find times and opportunities throughout the day to just mention things in prayer, to focus upon you. So Lord, help us in our prayer life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.